T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are going to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on former NBA center, former Cavs draft pick. Also, he's going to be on the call tonight for Cavs Magic on NBA TV, Brendan Haywood. Brendan, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me, fellas.
Well, it's great to have you, man. Always great to kind of get your perspective on just the NBA in general, but obviously our Cavaliers here. Are you surprised at how this series has gone?
I'm not surprised that Cleveland is up 2-0. I think, you know, I like this Cleveland roster. I love the backcourt. I think it's one of the better backcourts in the league. I know Orlando hasn't been one of the better shooting teams in the league, but I didn't expect them to shoot this poorly. I mean, the first two games, I mean, the three-point shooting has just been non-existent for the Orlando Magic. So I'm not surprised the Cavs are up, but I am surprised that Orlando has shot this bad. I mean, if you're talking about shooting poorly, it's one thing to just say, hey, we're shooting, you know, 42% or something like that. But to go out here and 8-for-37 one game, like that, I mean, that's a lot of threes taken, not a lot hit. So it's going to be very tough for the Cavs. It's going to be very tough for Orlando in that aspect if they keep shooting that poorly.
So do you think the Cavs 2-0 lead is more about what the Cavs have done in this series or more about that deficiency offensively for Orlando?
It's a combination of the two. The Cavs are basically saying we're going to load up on Paolo. Paolo's not really a shooter either. So we're going to load up and we're going to make him play in space. That's the strategy. When I talked to J.B. Bickerstaff, they want to make Paolo play in tight quarters. Well, that means they're going to have to help off of play people. And the Cavs are basically saying, listen, before we let Paolo go out here and have 35, 40 points, what we'll do is we'll make him play in tight areas and force him to throw the ball to guys like Wendell Carter, Jonathan Isaac. And those guys have decent three-point numbers on the season, but we don't fear them from the three-point line. Like Jonathan Isaac shoots like 37% from three, but he only takes two a game. So they're like, well, you know what? If a guy normally takes two threes a game, we're gonna help every single time. We're going to force him to take 7, 8, 9 threes a game. Let's see what he's going to do. And right now, the Magic have not answered that call at all.
Do you expect tonight's game to be the best game of the series so far from Orlando? I mean, it's got to be, right? I mean, if they're going to get back in it, they've got to get the job done tonight. Can they do it? And will it be the best game?
Yeah, I mean, Orlando coming back home, the place is going to be energized. We always know the role players play better at home. You're able to ride that wave, especially early in the game. I expect the Orlando Magic to come out with a lot of energy. You never know. Maybe the Magic even go with some type of lineup change to try to give them a little bit more of a boost. But I think Orlando's going to come out there with a lot of energy off the jump, though. So the Cavs have to be willing to weather. They have to be ready to weather that storm.
Brendan Haywood, NBA TV on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's going to be on the call for the Cavs Magic tonight in Orlando. Cavs up 2-0. Brendan, we've had so many conversations about J.B. Bickerstaff, and while the national media is talking about Donovan Mitchell's future, we're here focused on still wondering if J.B. Bickerstaff is the right guy to lead this team forward. And I think there's considerable doubt at this moment, but now the Cavs are up 2-0. Do you think J.B. has outcoached Jamal Mosley through two games?
I can't say that he's outcoached Jamal Mosley. I think J.B. has done a very good job. I mean, Jamal Mosley, he doesn't really have a bunch of shooting on this team. So it's almost no counterpunch. It's like, okay, we're going to load up on your superstar. And then what? Jamal Mosley's trying to put guys in, but Cole Anthony hasn't been hitting shots. And anybody else they put, the only guy that was hitting some threes last game was Gary Harris. If you only have one guy that's shooting, and right now Suggs is kind of compromised, he's hurt, we're not even sure how much they're going to get out of him. I mean, Jamal Mosley doesn't have another card to play until somebody else starts hitting shots. In the playoffs, your role players allow your stars to become superstars. Because if they're not hitting shots, no one's guarding them. So your stars are going to have to play in tight quarters. You don't have Michael Jordan without the Steve Kerrs and the Craig Hodges. Those guys got to hit shots. LeBron James always wants to play with shooters. Got to hit shots. You got to have the Kevin Loves. You got to have the Chris Boshes, guys that can stretch the floor. If your role players don't create space for your star, oh, it's a wrap. So Jamal Mosley really doesn't have a card to play unless he can find somebody magically that can hit some shots.
Brendan, when it comes to JB, not just the rest of this series, but big picture over the rest of these playoffs that the Cavs are involved in, what should we be looking at to make up our minds when it comes to JB and whether, again, he's the right guy to be the Cavs coach going forward?
Well, my question would be, why would he be the wrong guy? The Cavs finished in top four this year, right? Made the playoffs last year. I mean, who do you think they should bring in?
I like Mike Budenholzer.
Why?
Because he's an X's and O guy, and he won a championship. That helps.
Well, I love Coach Bud. But the one thing Coach Bud doesn't do is make adjustments in games. Like, if you take it back, let's say, so you said Budenholzer. Think back to when they were playing the Brooklyn Nets. They were allowing Kevin Durant to play one-on-one and attack drop coverage all game long. And Kevin Durant basically almost carried the team there by himself. If he wore a size 16 instead of a 17, there would be no championship. Just last year, I watched the Miami Heat clear one side of the court, and Jimmy Butler hooked Jrue Holiday up to a Ford F-150 and drug him around the gym, and there was no adjustment made. So what I'm saying is sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for, because just because a guy has a championship, that doesn't mean that guy is all of a sudden going to just magically make your team better. You know, some guys don't have championships, but they're better coaches than guys that have ring, that might have a ring. And so, like I said, I look at JB the last 2 years. Cavs made the playoffs. I think he's done a fairly good job. And like I said, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. You know, you want JB out, bring somebody else in. The next thing you know, it's not what you think it is.
Hey, let me ask you about Donovan Mitchell. He's played great first couple of games in this series. He's been battling some injuries at the end of the year, but like I said, played great the first couple of games. He's had a kind of a bad rap on him for the postseason or lack of postseason success. You know, how big is this run here for the Cavaliers and for Donovan specifically in terms of him being in Cleveland long term?
All big-time players want to perform in the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell has heard some of the whispers, like, well, hey, he'll start out a series hot and the numbers will kind of dwindle throughout the rest of the series. And great players take pride in that, and I'm sure that he wants to go ahead and put his best foot forward. And I think he's going to do that. I thought he played excellent game one, obviously not as well in game two. Still was aggressive, though, but the shot-making wasn't on par with what he normally does. I still like where he is. I think he's a big-time player in this league. And honestly, I don't think winning or losing will dictate whether he's a Cavalier or not. I honestly don't. I think it'll just be, does he think this is the best place for him? Does he have his eyes set somewhere else? But I don't think whether they win this series, lose the series, I don't think that's going to dictate where Donovan Mitchell goes. I think he's trying to make the best decision for himself in this instance, and I think it's going to come down to what he wants.
Brendan, when it comes to the Celtics-Heat series, Cavs fans feel a little bit better after watching the Heat without Jimmy Butler beat the Celtics last night. Should it make us feel better if the Cavs and Celtics were able to advance to the next round?
You said the Cavs and Celtics were... You said, well, should what make you feel better?
Should the Heat being able to...
And we're assuming that the Celtics are going to win this series against Miami.
But should the fact that the Heat are able to beat the Celtics without Jimmy Butler, without their best player, Should that give us a little bit more hope that the Cavs can do it as they are completely healthy?
I mean, every game is different. Every playoff series is different. And like you said, we talked about coaching. Coaching's different. I don't know where you guys stand on J.B. Bickerstaff, but I know one thing that no one ever questions is Eric Spoelstra. And Eric Spoelstra has his guys ready in game plan discipline at all times. So that's a different animal. Just because that team was able to win doesn't mean that your team will be able to do it. And I just look at it from the standpoint of, if I'm Cleveland, I think that we have one of the best backcourts in the league. We have one of the best front courts in the league. I don't think Cleveland should be scared of anybody. And I understand Boston will be favored, but you got to go out there and punch somebody in the mouth sometimes and do something that's unexpected. The year I was on the championship team in 2011, nobody expected us to beat the Lakers. Nobody. Nobody. Keith Sweat. Nobody expected us to beat the Lakers, but we were able to beat that squad. So if you're Cleveland and you want to do something great, you can't worry about that Miami beat this team. You have to just have your own belief that no matter what, we have the players in-house to get this done, and no matter what the outside noise is.
Not to look too far ahead, but do you think the Heat or Celtics would be a better second-round matchup for the Cavs?
I think you'd probably want to play the Heat. It's not going to be an easy series against either team. Both teams are very good. Heat are extremely well coached. Celtics probably one of the best two-way teams in this league. We don't know exactly when Jimmy Butler's coming back. You know, you might have, you walk into that series, no Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell. Even if Jimmy Butler's playing, you might have the best player in the series, in Donovan Mitchell, which always gives you a chance. So I think that if Cleveland Nation is watching that series, they should be hoping that the Boston Celtics get the South Beach flu.
Brennan, do the Lakers have a chance? I mean, that was a really heartbreaking loss for them in game two against Denver, up 20 points. And obviously the series shifts back to Los Angeles here, but a lot of people think they may be toast. What say you?
No, the Lakers do not have a chance. Can they win a game? Can they win some games in this series? Yes. Will they win four games? No. They needed to get one of those games, more specifically the last game. And when I look at the Lakers and I look at Anthony Davis specifically, the way the game sometimes goes for him kind of bothers me as far as the Lakers being that team. Because I think when you're as talented as Anthony Davis, there comes a time where you have to stand up and say, I'm that guy. Bron is never going to pass you the torch, Anthony Davis. You're going to have to take it. And I think this was the opportunity for Anthony Davis in game two to announce to the world that he's back. Bubble Anthony Davis is not a thing of the past. He was destroying Jokic in the first half, looking like prime Tim Duncan. Fourth quarter, we couldn't find you. There comes a time where you got to say, hey, you got to walk into that huddle, look everybody in the eye and say, hey, bring the ball this way. I got this. And that was never said. And Anthony Davis fading down the stretch in that game is problematic for me. Jokic seemingly rising to the occasion while Anthony Davis went the other direction is problematic for me. I think that this team is just too well coached. They understand exactly where the ball is supposed to be. And then after the game, the comments by Anthony Davis, sometimes we don't know what we're doing offensively and defensively. Well, guess what? The Denver Nuggets always know what they're doing offensively down the stretch. You'll never see Aaron Gordon take a wild shot with 5 minutes left in the game. You know where the ball is going. They're going to run their pick and rolls. They're going to get the switches. They know where to attack it. Guys know where to cut. Guys know where the ball is coming. The ball is going to be coming on time. Denver is a well-oiled machine. And the only way for the Lakers to disrupt that will be for Anthony Davis to just flat-out dominate Jokic. And I do not see that happening.
Looking elsewhere, another game tonight, game three between the Knicks and Sixers. Game two, wild ending that gave the Knicks the 2-0 series lead in this. After game two, Joel Embiid said the Sixers are going to come back to beat the Knicks and win this series. Do you believe him?
I do not believe him, and it's not because I don't think he's great. I don't believe him because I don't think he's healthy. Joel Embiid doesn't look like he has the same pop. He's so great that he can go out there and score 34 points on one leg. But he does not look healthy at all to me. And then the second part is Jalen Brunson hasn't had a good game yet, and the Knicks are up 2-0. So right now, I think the Sixers had a great season. I think Joel Embiid is a great player, but with his health compromised, I don't see the Sixers beating the Knicks.
Brendan, really great stuff, man, especially on the coaching. Really, really cool stuff. I will always say, when you were drafted by the Cavs, I was pissed for about 4 years after that they traded you on draft night. I've gotten over it finally, but I really appreciated you coming out of UNC, so we appreciate that too, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, man, appreciate it. Thank you.
Brendan Haywood there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Well, my question would be, why would he be the wrong guy? The Cavs finished in top four this year, right? Made the playoffs last year. I mean, who you think they should bring in?
Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for, because just because a guy has a championship, that doesn't mean that that guy is all of a sudden going to just magically make your team better. You know, some guys don't have championships, but they're better coaches than guys that might have a ring. And so, like I said, I look at JB the last 2 years. Cavs made the playoffs. I think he's done a fairly good job. And like I said, sometimes you gotta be careful what you ask for. You know, you want JB out, bring somebody else in, and next thing you know, it's not what you think it is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That was Brendan Haywood of the NBA TV broadcast for tonight's Game 3. Cavs Magic tonight. Excited to see that. Excited to hear him on the call. And that was his response when we asked about basically JB and whether he has outcoached Jamal Mosley in the series, and also like his thoughts on the job that JB has done. And what I will say is, I understand. Well, 2 years of being a top four seed, I understand that is regular seasons are the accomplishment. That's not what we should be grading JB on. The regular season success should be the expectation. That's like the bare minimum of expectation. What decides whether he should be here is what you do in the playoffs. And so I mentioned Mike Budenholzer. Maybe he disagrees with that, but then I can easily find another coach. I can find another reference point. JB, in my opinion, should be coaching for his job, not just in the rest of this series, but in the rest of these playoffs.
I feel exactly the same. And again, I'm not saying, like, Brendan knows more about basketball than I could. I mean, he's forgotten more than I know about basketball. So that's the point. The guy's really, really smart. I get that. But we're watching it every day.
Yeah.
I'm sure he follows the Cavaliers, but is he really watching everything?
Yeah.
You said JB's not an X's nose guy, and I agree with you. I mean, he was taking down Coach Bud. Yeah. And saying he doesn't make adjustments, and I don't know that I agree with that.
Well, I think a lot of us, it's not us, a lot of people have changed their tune on Coach Bud because of last year in the playoffs, and in my experience, that was the anomaly. Like, he has made, I don't know that Coach Bud was where he needed to be last year, given things that were going on off the court. I mean, he lost his brother that week, and I know that was... Like, the Bucks didn't care about that and still fired Coach Bud. But, like, in terms of X's and O's, Mike Budenholzer is thought to be one of the best X's and O's coaches. But it's not just about that to me. Like, it's tough because I do understand the overall messaging, which is it is tough to upgrade at coach. It is. But that doesn't change the first question, which is J.B. Bickerstaff a guy that you can win with in the playoffs? And it's funny because I've already started to see people move the goalpost. Going into this series, people said this series in and of itself is not enough to confirm that J.B.'s a good playoff coach to me. And then I've already seen through two games people think, oh, he's dramatically out-coaching Jamal Mosley. I just don't know you can say that. I don't know I'm learning anything about JB until you get against a coach. Like, that would be, listen, I'm at this point I actually might be more afraid of the Heat than I am the Celtics simply because of Eric Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you have the talent advantage. It doesn't matter. Like, Spoelstra is going to push you, and Spoelstra teams are going to push you as much as anything. Honestly, it's the way I feel about Steve Kerr before they got Kevin Durant, where that thing was so flawless in his ability to make those quick adjustments. It's tough to beat a Steve Kerr coach team unless Klay Thompson pops his Achilles and Draymond Green starts punching his teammates. Like, just because it might be tough to find a guy who is a playoff guy doesn't mean that that makes JB any better in the playoffs. And so, yeah, tonight's one of those games where tonight's the kind of matchup where we're going to see the feel that he has for this team. Because I would imagine that Orlando, you're going to get the best game from them. And this is also a team, like, I was looking at their, and we'll get more into this later in the show, I was looking at their home-away splits. Like, traditionally, obviously, we're expecting a team to be a little bit better at home than on the road.
Correct.
It is night and day offensively and defensively. We're talking a 10-point swing between how much they score and how much they give up from being at home and being on the road. So I think some of us are just expecting an easy win for the Cavs tonight. I'm not. And again, this is a moment for JB to prove he's going to get these guys in the right frame of mind. He's going to do the things to win what could end up being the most difficult game of the series.
I think it's going to be really tough for the Cavs, but I do think they're going to win. It's going to be more challenging. I think it's going to come down to the final, 3 minutes of the game. Probably going to be a really tight, contested basketball game. But I think the Cavs are going to pull it off.
And if they don't,
I think things will get interesting.
I think this is probably, I think that's the way, I think I understand, and I think Orlando understands this thing. And listen, I'll be honest with you, you've got the equalizer. Tonight should be about Donovan. I think at the end of game two, Donovan said to his guys, Donovan obviously had the banged up ribs because of the cheap shot by Wendell Carter Jr. And I think Donovan was able to trust his teammates a little bit more. I think he was able to conserve a little bit more. I think this is a game where it'd be great to get the full Donovan, where Donovan just decides, I'm not going to lose. Now, we asked Brendan Haywood about this. And again, if you guys missed it, it's fantastic. Like, really great stuff about this series, about the path forward with the Cavaliers, all that. But, we asked him, does the Celtics loss to the Heat last night, does that prove that the Cavs would have a legitimate chance against them? And I have said that I think one of the downsides with Boston is they are almost exclusively, their offense is so heavily predicated on three-pointers, and they don't have a Steph Curry. Yes, they have their wings can shoot, and they've got some really good shooters. There's a reason why they led the league in 3-point attempts, and there's a reason why they were one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the NBA. But the problem is, you saw Miami last night put the clamps down on them on the perimeter, and Boston did not have a gear to go to switch up on that. That does, to me, make them a lot more beatable than you would suggest a 64-win regular season team would
honestly
be.
I think that should, like, watching that game last night, if you were a player on the Cavaliers, I think you're juiced. I think it gives you, because, like, there's a chance the Cavs were looking at the series against the Magic, like, yeah, we'll take care of them, but we know we're probably going to lose in the next round. But then, like, you watch last night and you see a Heat team without Jimmy Butler getting it done. Yeah, they made a lot of threes. Where they were like 50%, 60% for three or something stupid, right?
Yeah.
And that, obviously, they win the game. I think it gives you some hope that you can compete against Boston.
You know, it's funny. I also think it should put the appropriate fear of mind and heart for the Heat. Because when the Cavs were really good, it was because they were shooting. When the Cavs were at their best this year, it's because the ball was moving and they were shooting. at like a 41%, 42% clip from three. I think the way the Heat are slowing down and aggravating Boston, the way they would beat Boston, I think is the same way you'd beat the Cavs, which is that excruciating perimeter defense. And, oh, by the way, Spoelstra is – I don't even think it's a question anymore. Spoelstra is the best. And it's not just
– He's the best coach probably I've ever seen.
It's not just because he's a great coach. He's emboldened to be the best coach in the NBA. When Pat Riley is your consigliere and Pat Riley's watching on, and everybody knows if a player steps out of line in Miami, they'll choose Eric Spoelstra over you because they've done it for damn near 15 years now. I think you add that to the fact that he's brilliant and with X's and O's and lineup changes and stuff like that. All of that together is why Spo is capable of doing what they've done here. C. Town J. Cavs are two on the playoffs. Nick spends 40 minutes and why they should fire JB. Actually, I haven't said that. I've talked about this whole series being this playoffs being the whole point in deciding on whether JB is the right coach going forward. I think people are too damn sensitive about JB Bickerstaff. He's just a guy. He's just a head coach. Until proven otherwise. Listen, you go out.
Just a head coach.
You win this series and you go make short order, or you win. Hell, you win a 7-game series against Boston, we'll talk. I'll eat some crow. But this is not about firing JB Bickerstaff. We're evaluating JB Bickerstaff. Those are two very different things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.